Welcome to Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. Pastor Dom went from a life of organized crime to federal prison. There, God saved him and set him free. Soon after his release, he attended seminary and received his master's degree and is now the senior pastor of Desert Sky Baptist Church, where he serves with a passion for biblical theology right here in Casa Grande. Now let's join our host, Pastor Dominic Grimaldi.
Pastor Dominic Grimaldi here with Street Talk Theology, where we take our theology and bring it to the streets. Pastor Grimaldi at Gmail. If you want to write me something, ask a theological question, whatever is on your mind, on your heart, we're here to serve you here at Desert Sky Baptist Church in Casa Grande. Well, this is season 3, and this is our, if I'm not mistaken, our 4th show in season 3. And I have my 2 brothers with me from Redemption Hill Church in India, Ashok and Pastor Michael Teddy. You want to just shout out a new year to the to your listeners here today, Pastor Michael and Ashok?
Yes, happy new year.
Happy 2020.
Happy 2020. It's 2022, right?
None of us got 2020 and 2021.
Oh, yeah, so. Right, exactly. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, very good, Pastor Mike. So we have a really interesting topic. I'm really excited to delve into this. And we're trying to hook up from, you know, our brothers are in India. We were trying to hook up our Skype. We had a couple of issues this morning. But we are going to speak about covenants, covenant theology, and this is an interesting topic. I am excited to hear these brothers expound, and you know, knowing Michael, Pastor Michael, I know that they studied really hard for this, so I'm excited to hear them and excited to see what they have to say. So what I want to do first is I want to read a couple of sets of scripture, if I may, and then I'll have the brothers expound on what a covenant is, and then we'll start there. But let me read these scriptures. This is when Isaac cuts a covenant, that's the original language, cuts a covenant with Abimelech. And we know the context there, that they were having a quarrel over wells and water, like I says, if you read Genesis 26, that'll put it in deeper context. I just want to, what I want to look at here, so I give the brothers a chance to expound on this, is what is a covenant? So as I read this, we should be able to understand what's going on as we introduce you, as the brothers introduce you, as what a covenant is. So let me read here, reading from God's word, Genesis 26 and 26. Now Abimelech came to him from Gerar with his advisor Ahuzath and Phicol, the commander of his army. And Isaac said to them, "Why have you come to me, since you hate me and have sent me away from you?" Then they said, "We see plainly that Yahweh has been with you. So we said, let there now be an oath between us, between you and us. Let us cut a covenant with you. Then you will do us no harm, just as we have not touched you and have done to you nothing but good and have sent you away in peace. You are now blessed of Yahweh." Then he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. In the morning they arose early, and each swore to the other. Then Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. So now it happened on that day, verse 32, that Isaac's servants came in and told him about the well which they had dug, and said to him, "We have found water." So it's called Shabbat. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. So here's my question. It looks like on a straight reading of the text, Pastor Michael, Ashok, that this covenant is basically a covenant of peace, it looks like, between Isaac and Abimelech. And if we know the context, there was some issues over wells and water and things like that. But, so here's the question. Ashok, what is a covenant? What is a biblical covenant? Let's say people in the audience, they've heard the word, but they don't know what it means.
Yeah. So we can think of a covenant as a promise or a treaty that is kept between at least two parties, or it can be more. And these two parties can be of the same, standing. They can be at the same social or economic positions, or it could be like many cases in ancient Israel. And when we see covenants, it's usually a king and a lesser king that is involved. A bigger king who has come to conquer a place and a lesser king were involved. And these two positions were called suzerain and vassal. And it is basically they come up with a treaty, or they come up with a promise agreement between both these parties. And this may include the bigger king or the more mighty king offering peace and protection and everything to the lesser king, or the king who is ruling over the smaller areas. In return for something, or for his allegiance, or for his military strength, etc. So it also is a word that is interchangeably used for contract. We usually hear a lot of contract and covenant is not the same thing. At least when you look at that, it might not be used in the same manner, but technically it is the same thing. Right, because what do we have in a contract? We have a terms of a contract. Similarly, we have a terms of a covenant that both the parties agree to, and usually there are consequences when you break the covenant. So yeah, when we sign contracts, when we take in leased contracts, etc., on a daily life, covenants are not something that we are foreign to. We do it in our daily life through many of these things. So yeah, that would be a general summary of covenant.
Pastor Michael, can you add to that? So let me just say one thing. Is it basically like today, if we're keeping our word with each other? So in other words, if we, if we make a pact or something like that, and I tell you, Pastor Michael, I won't do this, and you say you won't do that or whatever, is it something of that nature? Is it like almost making a pact with each other?
I think I lost you, brothers, in between, but I think I got the question.
Yeah, I just asked if covenant is like making a pact. Is it like making, like you say you do something, I say it, and we got to keep by that word?
Yeah. I would say it is like that, but it is also not like that, because we live in a time where there's very little consequence if you break your pact.
Yes, that's for sure. Yeah. Right.
So, if you're a man with who doesn't keep his word, I mean, it's in our culture, in our time, in our age, it's very different. Okay. Yeah. To follow up on what Ashok was saying, I think we should dive deep into some of the things Ashok said, like the suzerain vassal, type of covenant. But, at the very root, like Ashok was saying, a covenant is essentially a contract. It is an agreement between two parties. It's like you said, we make a pact. But the difference is, if you notice, you have in this example, you have Isaac and Abimelech, and they are both growing, right? And they're both flourishing, and they decide to make a pact. Mm. How can they trust the other person is going to keep it? Like, it's like if two parties who are flourishing very much, I don't know if this comparison is a good comparison, but imagine two gangs, right? And they've got their own territory, but they're almost in the same territory, and they decide to make a pact.
Oh, yeah. Very good example.
Right. And they come together and suddenly they come together and say, okay, let's just make an agreement. Well, who's to trust that the other guy is going to keep it? But you find in the Bible that the moment they make a covenant, it is almost expected that it will be kept. So the seriousness of the contract is different. So I'd like to explain it this way. It is a contract. A covenant is a contract, and as every contract has terms, these contracts have terms. So these are the terms of the contract. Now, if you break the contract, there is a consequence, and you both agree to the consequence. Now, if two guys just make a pact with each other and the other one of them breaks it, well, who's going to carry out the consequence? Nobody's going to do that, right? Like, you know, he's just going to walk away. But imagine you actually sign a legal contract with somebody, right? And then you break the terms of the contract, then you've got legal authority that's going to come and penalize you. You know, you have to suffer the consequence of the contract you broke, right? And so you begin to see contracts in that sense become more and more serious, right? You own a big company and somebody decides to come and, you know, you contract with somebody and it costs $1 million or millions of dollars. And your task in the contract is to do such and such. Now, if you break that contract, if you don't keep the terms of the contract, you could go to jail. That could be the consequence, right? And you break the contract, the legal authorities come in and put you in jail.
Notice he's got to mention. Notice he's got to mention jail, right, Ashok? Get past the Michael.
Yeah.
So it becomes more serious, right, with that kind of contract.
Yeah.
But can you imagine a contract that these guys are making, and the legal authority over them in this passage is God?
Ah.
So if you see verse 28, this is they said. We see plainly that the Lord has been with you. So we said, let there be a sworn pact between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you. And so this whole thing is happening, and the legal authority overseeing this pact is God. And so if either of them break the pact, God intervenes. That's the highest level of authority. So a covenant is essentially a contract with terms and consequences if you break those terms and rewards if you keep them. And the seriousness of this contract is not like two guys making a pact today. The seriousness of this contract is when it comes to biblical covenants, as the covenant we just saw here, God is the legal authority over these covenants. And that's why these men took it very seriously. And so God would intervene and carry out judgment for when you broke those covenants and when you kept them. To give you another example, when Moses died and Joshua took over and God blessed Joshua and the Israelites moved from the wilderness as they were going into the promised land, they were conquering kingdoms. Right, they would go kingdom after kingdom and they would win and God would be with them. Now, there was a kingdom that saw the Israelites coming in and wanted to find a way to escape them. So it's called the Gibeonite deception, right? So the Gibeonites dressed up as foreigners and came to Joshua and the people of Israel and said, don't harm us. Because God had told the Israelites specifically that you are to conquer all of these lands. And so they came and said, we're actually foreigners. When you find us in the make a covenant with us that you will not attack us or fight us, and so to speak. And Joshua did not know, and the people of Israel did not recognize them as the Gibeonites. They thought they were foreigners. And so they made a covenant with them. Now, the interesting story is, when they actually start conquering these kingdoms and they walk in, they then recognize that these people were actually the Gibeonites, right? And for tricking them, you would expect they would have killed them twice as hard or overpowered them twice as hard. But what happens is they don't touch them because they made a covenant.
That, you know, Pastor Michael, that's an amazing story because the Gibeonites were deceiving them, right, Ashuk? I mean,
yeah.
They were deceiving the people of God, but the people of God still had to, basically, they cut the covenant. They basically still had to go by that covenant. And that's always been a wonderful narrative of how important it is once you give your word, in front of God, like you say, he's the one that you're cutting this covenant in front of. He's the judge and the jury in this. It's just an amazing story. And man, I exhort people to read that with the Gibeonite. Kind of a funny story too, right, Ashok?
In fact, when the Gibeonites were getting attacked at some point, Israel, they even fought for them. So,
and I think that shows the difference, because, you know, Ashok, Pastor Michael made a great point that just practical, just think about this practically. We don't live like that today. We don't, our word does not mean anything today. Hopefully with us it does, and with the people of God it does. But, you know, covenant today would be broken and there would be no consequence. But Ashok, this is different. This is, man, Pastor Michael really, for me, opened up my eyes that this covenant is before the God of the universe. You know, this is not some judge in the Eastern District in Brooklyn, New York, or something like that. This is the God of the universe. And they took that seriously, really serious. Man, this is a great, I mean, just think about these Gibeon. I mean, that's a good, I wasn't even thinking about that this morning because I was trying to, I've been a little under the weather a little bit, but I was, that's a story that's a great, great example of people keeping their word today because they do it in front of a holy God. Am I right, Pastor Michael?
Absolutely.
Okay. So I think, please.
Yeah. And I think it becomes, especially in our culture, especially serious when it comes to marriage.
So
it's a covenant before God.
Yeah.
It's a vow before God that people just break left, right, and center.
Yeah. Now, on a practical note and more of a cultural note for you guys, maybe you can help me with this. So marriage, say in it, now you guys, obviously you live in India, right? Is there a difference? And I'm only asking this by way of not knowing, and maybe the audience would love to hear this. Is there a difference of how, say you guys there take marriage and things like that? Is it almost covenantal, or is there a lot of separation and divorce in India? I'm using a marriage for a metaphor, if that's okay.
To give you a picture, so we live in the southern state of India called Kerala, and it is one of the most Christianized, if you can call it that, states of the nation. It's one of the Christian belts of the nation. And I think we have one of the highest divorce rates.
Oh, wow.
And it's rising. You know, the advent of technology and the ability for us right now, you know, to talk from two parts of the world, you know, with like this, has allowed a whole lot of culture to just easily be imported everywhere. You know, so even when we're talking about Indian culture, you know, there's a huge import of Western culture. There's a huge import of European culture. There is a huge because, you know, people see movies, people see all sorts of stories. So it's becoming more and more, you know, that's the way it is, kind of a thing.
Yeah. So the influence on the culture. Mm. Now, notice, and Ashok, we have about probably about 5 minutes here. I want Ashok to say, but one thing, because this is, you know, these conversations, how they go, because this is interesting, how the covenants were taken so seriously in the Bible, and because of, like Pastor Michael profoundly said, because of God. God is the one who's overseeing the covenant. But notice today in the world, they don't believe that they're responsible to anything except for their own self. You know what I'm saying, Ashok? Yeah. And Pastor Michael really made this practical. So maybe you can expound for a few minutes on that practicality of we've lost that today. We really have.
Yeah, number of divorce cases that have increased across the last few years is staggering. And we see that it's not just that people are getting divorced. There are a lot of people, you would see them talk about this online, as divorce rates, increased divorce rate being a sign of a healthy community. Because it is being taken as an indicator of people giving up toxic relationships and actually moving on. So that's the thing. Here are people who are profaning the covenant by doing things that are toxic. And at the same time, there are people responding to it in an ungodly manner as well. So God is completely out of the picture. And what we have is, even in the whole evaluation of whether this is the right thing or wrong thing, whether people should continue in marriage, the name of God is completely removed. And we see, because the covenant doesn't matter there. It doesn't matter that there is an agreement that is where people are, you know, answerable to God. It's utilitarianism at the end of the day. And we make gods out of ourselves if it is not the true God of the universe. Yeah.
Yeah, great point. You know, and let me just remind our audience that we're doing this from India here to in Arizona. So, okay, Pastor Michael, listen, we got about 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes. I know it goes fast. I just want you to recap for us, and you know, we'll deal with this again probably in the next two or three weeks, because this is a huge topic, and this is the only one question we got to. But so let's say the audience just turned on the radio or the YouTube now, and you got about 3 minutes. Tell us in layman's terms then what a biblical covenant is, basically.
All right. So a biblical covenant is what we would call a contract. It is an agreement between two or more parties. And as every contract has terms to it, so does these covenants. There are terms of the contract that must be kept. That is the agreement between the parties. And in keeping the terms, they have peace amongst them, and they are willing to work on whatever that contract is about. They work together. They are united in that front. And if any of the parties break the covenant, then the terms also include consequences. So you break this covenant, this is the consequence of breaking this covenant. So it's essentially an agreement or a contract. And it is unlike, you know, just two guys making a pact today, simply because, you know, we live in a time where people don't value each other's words that much. People don't keep their word. They don't see it as that important. But throughout the Bible, covenant is a language of scripture. It is a language of relationship that you find throughout the Bible. And I think the most important point to notice, God constantly relates with his people through covenants.
Praise the Lord.
He constantly makes covenants with them. And that's a common thing you see throughout scripture. And we as Christians take covenants or contracts seriously, because we realize that the ultimate legal authority that watches over these covenants to make sure that the justice is met, to make sure that the rewards are given, is God above all things. The sovereign Lord of the universe is the ultimate overseer of all biblical covenants.
Yeah, that, and like I said, that's a far cry from today, as you said, because nobody even acknowledges the God of the universe. But again, they will be responsible for that. So, well, I have 5 questions here, but I'm out of time, and I only asked one question. What is a covenant? But I think it's a good basis to start when we continue next week. And, you know, this will probably take us, I would say, at least two or three weeks to finish, you know, Pastor Michael, because Ashok sent me 5 questions. But anyway, listen, will you guys think about coming back and finishing this conversation with me?
Absolutely. It's one of those topics we love.
Yeah.
Fun stuff is yet to start.
Okay. Yeah. This is Pastor Dominic Grimaldi here on Street Talk Theology. We take theology and we bring it to the streets. Till the next time, may grace and peace abound to you in Jesus' name. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. You can visit Pastor Dom at Desert Sky Baptist Church at 891 West Corson Road, Casa Grande. And for more information, visit us online at www.desertskybaptist.org.